Sue, good morning. How are you?
I am great. In my mind, it is 65 degrees.
Look
so
at the sunshine.
I'm just going to pretend, yes.
Well, you don't even have to pretend. Where you're sitting at right now is probably 72 in sunshine. So it's, again,
well, that's true.
All of us that are trapped inside, we're okay. But again, on a day like today, a morning like this morning, an evening like last night, you're not going to send kids to stand out on the bus stop waiting for school buses, and not all the county roads are ready to go yet.
Well, you know, no, they're not. And I don't know if people got around on Monday, but Monday, even in the city, the roads weren't necessarily cleared. So imagine what it takes for all of our county roads that where buses travel to get cleared. It's just not that easy, especially when it gets to be so cold. It's just a really difficult process to get buses around the county. And I'm sorry for people who have kids at home who are going squirrely and you need something to do with them, but that's just the reality of the situation. We're in the Midwest, and it snows, and it's cold.
And the wind chill temperatures where they say if you're out for an extended period of time, you could run into things like hypothermia. Those aren't chances that I'm willing to take for children with their sensitive
little skin. Well, exactly,
and
it's not like the buses come and pick you up in your driveway. You know, kids have to walk a ways to get to where they're going. They have to stand there and wait for the bus. So, yeah, it's not the best of conditions, and we have to think about the kids first.
Are we traveling like, what's the number, Sue, 10,000 miles a day?
Yeah, it's around 9,000 miles our buses travel a day. And granted, some of our buses go out of town, out of county, if there are students with certain disabilities or certain special needs. But for the most part, we're in the county traveling 9,000 miles. That is just unbelievable to me. But we're a large county. We travel a lot of rural roads. It's not like an urban school system where you're just traveling in city roads. So, you know, it might look fine outside my door, but that doesn't mean it's fine every place.
I've never driven a bus, but I understand one of the problems is diesel fuel does not start as easily as gasoline in the morning when they try to start these buses. So it takes a little while for these buses to get up and running, too.
And the other problem, too, is the radius of turns where buses
yes.
have to turn. A lot of times the roads are plowed in such a way that it's hard to get a big bus around that curve. So yeah, there's just so much that goes into it. I am very thankful that I don't have to be the director of transportation and make all of these decisions, but I'm thankful that we have some really good people doing that for us.
Well, and it is a, you know, we've had 4 days, and, you know, now we're getting a look. The state still hasn't decided on the I-STEP test, but that's coming up next week, depending on where you are, and there's a lot of decisions that have to be made yet.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things that we talk about a lot, where we kind of have to wait to see what the state determines and what the state decides we need to do, and our teachers and our administrators, my goodness, are hanging in there with this big question hanging over our heads, and I feel real bad for our teachers and administrators who don't have any kind of solid word from the state.
Let me ask you, the best
they can.
I want to ask you a question about that.
Sure.
Where do you see, if Glenda Ritz, the legislation now apparently has passed both houses, I don't know if the governor has to sign it or what, but how much difference is it going to make that the elected state superintendent of public instruction is no longer chair of the state board of education, that the board itself will elect its chair, and that Glenda, the state superintendent of public instruction, is just one more of, I think there's 12 or 13 people on that board?
Well, I think it makes a big difference to our state.
I don't know how you can do that if you don't change the Constitution.
Right, and for me, that's the biggest concern, is it's almost like our city council going in and saying, well, the mayor shouldn't be the one who hires department heads. We're going to take that away from him. I agree. The Kokomo School Board has a resolution that they sent to the State House that has parts of the Constitution in it, and how in the history of how the state superintendent of education came about into that position. So I think more and more of us, and I know a lot of people were in Indy on Monday, a lot of people from this
area.
In spite
of the weather, they got
up
there.
Right, to rally in behind not just Glenda Ritz, but the position of the superintendent of public instruction and what that was meant to be and what that should be.
Well, and it wasn't just that. It was this whole mess with I-STEP and the way the legislature. And basically, I saw a lot of it. Yeah, there was a lot of support for Glenda Ritz. But a lot of it was, why don't you people let the people who are professional educators
right.
make education decisions?
Well, exactly. We really don't, I mean, we don't go in and make decisions for what business owners need to do. We don't make decisions about what lawyers should be doing for their profession or for what physicians should be doing for their profession. But as you say, Keith, it seems okay because everybody went to school, so everybody's an educational expert, and so they can make the decisions about what has to happen for education. And I think in this state it's too bad. But I also understand these folks who are making the decision in the legislature were just elected or reelected in November. They probably feel that they have a mandate and that they can do just about whatever they can because they won the elections. And that's just one more message that elections have consequences, and in a state where only 29% of the people voted, we've got to do a better job of getting people out to vote.
Yeah, but if they have consequences, then it also should be that you can't reverse the results of the election because you didn't like who won.
Well, and that's a really good point. And, you know, our legislature keeps saying, well, she's not getting along with the board. Well, why don't we replace the board? If that's the case, why replace her as chair? Why don't we do some other kinds of things and allow her to have the authority that we believe constitutionally she has?
Our guests this morning are Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer. They both serve on the MCCSC school board and check in every Thursday morning to talk about local education issues. And locally, obviously, the ISTEP is the Indiana State Testing Program. And what's the direction you're getting on this? Business as usual?
Nothing yet. No direction.
Nothing, Glass. And, you know, the way that the tests were printed was to have...
Wait a second. I understand all this, but weren't we taking these on iPads and there was computer problems going on?
That's right.
Now, is it different this year?
Yes.
Yeah, we have some printed tests that have sections in it that now are going to be deleted, which means somehow pages from the testing booklet need to be removed. The answer sheets where people mark things in, parts of that are going to have to be removed. Otherwise, who knows? Somebody might have the right answer, but they're filling in the wrong little bubble. So yeah, it is kind of a little chaotic and jumbled, to say the least, Glass.
They're trying to rush it through so the governor signs it so that the word can get out, because some schools are starting ISTEP next week. So, you know, what do we do with those test booklets? And you're absolutely right, Mike. Last year we did it electronically. It was a disaster. And supposedly they fixed everything. But what happens is all of a sudden we got warehouses full of test books of ISTEP for this year. No one told us it was going to be a paper test this year. It was supposed to all have been electronic. You know, it's insane.
Well, there you go.
So, Mike, you know, I understand your frustration. My worry really is with our teachers and our administrators who are doing the best they can to try to figure out what it is they're supposed to be doing. And I think they're doing a great job teaching and learning as they're supposed to be doing, working with our kids, and whatever needs to be done with the ISTEPs. We'll follow our administration's lead, and we'll make the best of it.
We've got a school board meeting Tuesday night.
Yes, 6 o'clock, of
course.
Must
be the final Tuesday of February.
Yeah.
Yes, the fourth Tuesday, and certainly everyone is welcome.
Well, and hopefully we'll have some knowledge about what's going on with ISTEP then.
And what I am interested in hearing about, and Mr. Glasscock can comment on this firsthand, kindergarten open house, and how did that go?
You'd have to ask my wife. She was in charge of all of that, but everybody seemed to be happy and excited and seeing new faces and seeing new buildings. My daughter was excited how large the gym was. How about that?
Oh, good. She takes after her dad, I guess.
Well, I guess so, and she was impressed it was purple. So that was two big major victories there, but now everybody's excited about all that. Kindergarten registration is open through August.
Right.
Let's remind people of that. That was not, you missed it. You did not miss it. You've got plenty of time to get ready to roll for all of that. So, no, it was a good time.
And a lot
time.
Of schools, like we heard from Arlington on Tuesday, are having other activities for newbies to come
right.
and see the school and do the kinds of tours and
come
get used
on
to
by
it.
And say hi. So what else happens at your meeting on Tuesday that people need to be aware of?
Well, hopefully we will get an update. I mean, I think that's probably the most important thing right now is to get an update on what's going on in the State House with ISTEP testing, especially with the budgeting that's coming out, because we know the governor wants to, in this big budget that he's proposed, sounds really great, I guess, until you realize all of the money he wants to take off the top, first to go to charter schools, and then he wants to remove the cap for the money that goes to vouchers to pay for students to go to private schools. So
yeah, the kitch there, Sue, is you're going to hear that more money is going to education than ever has in the past. Ask the next level of question. What education? Who
right.
in education? Who's giving this money? Is it public education or is it charter schools and private vouchers?
And one of the things that our state likes to do is say this is more state money than ever went to education before. But in the past, remember a few years ago, we used to pay for public education with property taxes.
Right.
So while it might be true that there's more state money going, there's not necessarily more money as at totally going, because when it was paid with property taxes, it was funded quite differently. So yeah, it looks like there's more state money because we're just using a different pot of money now.
Okay, Sue, what time's the meeting on Tuesday?
6 o'clock, certainly the beginning of our meeting. We celebrate success and we recognize people who have done great things for our school corporation. And right after that, we have public comment for anyone who would like to come and comment on the state of MCCSC or what's going on in the state. And that happens right after the celebration of success.
Excellent. So that's Tuesday the 24th, 6 p.m. And Sue, we appreciate your time. Stay warm, and
okay.
We'll get caught up with you next week to see
okay.
how the meeting went.
Okay, thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSC school board. Keith serves as the president. They check in every Thursday morning.